In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. As you no doubt know by now, the theme for our Advent midweeks and meditations is Come and See. We've heard over the last several weeks how Andrew and John and Peter and Philip and Nathanael, the man who was born blind, even the Pharisees and the Jews were invited to come and see Jesus, that they might believe that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, that he is their Lord and their God. Come and see. Come and believe. But many people in our world today think that faith and sight are totally contradictory, completely at odds with each other. Sight, they think, has to do with things that are objective, concrete, things that can be proven with indisputable evidence, facts, science. But faith, they say, faith has to do with things that are subjective, fluid. Faith has varying degrees of importance to different people, and the truth that you believe may have no relevance whatsoever to the person next to you. Now, to be fair, there is a grain of truth to this line of thinking. The Holy Scriptures say that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And also, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Nevertheless, faith is most certainly not a private, individual, internal matter completely devoid of any external, objective, public reality. Not at all. For the Christian faith, the one true faith, the faith to which we cling, is grounded in and clings to very real things. Real historical events. Real words, real deeds, spoken and done by a real man at a real place and at a real time. A real man who was really conceived in the womb of a virgin and who was born over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. A real man who really lived every single day of his life without any sin whatsoever, never doing wrong, not even once. Who really taught crowds of thousands upon thousands of people with an authority that no one else has ever had, not before or since. Who really performed numerous miracles for people in every kind of need, signs to testify to his identity as the Son of God, God with us, God in the flesh. A real man who was really betrayed into the hands of those who hated him, who was really sentenced to death, who was really crucified to pay for the sins of the whole world, of every sinner, of every time, of every place, who made atonement for every transgression ever committed. A real man who really rose again from the dead on the third day in his flesh and blood body, and really presented himself alive to his disciples by many proofs, speaking to them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. For our Christian faith, the one true faith, clings to Jesus Christ alone, the real God and man who really lived and died and rose again. And so when Andrew and Philip and the man born blind invited others to come and see, they were inviting them to come to a real person and see a real man in the flesh. And when Jesus rose again on Easter, he showed himself to his apostles that they might see that it is really him, their Lord Jesus, in his body, though now exalted. And when Jesus appeared to them a week later, as we heard this evening, and especially to Thomas, who was now with them, he really showed his hands and his side that he might touch and see that it was him who was there. And Thomas believed because he saw and heard Jesus. And so while faith is indeed the conviction of things not seen, and while indeed we look to those things that are unseen, that are eternal, nevertheless our faith is founded in things that were once seen. For it is founded in the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, the God who made himself visible and tangible as a real man, who died as a spectacle on the cross, who rose again and appeared to his disciples on many occasions before his ascension into heaven. And it was according to God's perfect will that this should be so. It was God's perfect will that Jesus should perform many signs in the presence of his disciples. It was God's perfect will that Jesus' ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension be seen by those whom he called to be apostles. For after his ascension, Jesus would no longer be present locally in his body on earth, which means that those who would come to believe in him, who would come to confess that he is their Lord and their God, would no longer be able to do so based on what they had seen. And that's why when Christ ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists to speak from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, that through their inspired witness, as preached and taught by the pastors, we might all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, even we who live many, many years after his ascension on the other side of the globe. For us, for now, faith in Jesus as Lord and God is based on the eyewitness testimony of those who were with him from the beginning. It is based on what those men preached and wrote and testified concerning this man who is God, Jesus Christ. And it's for this reason that all the apostles, but especially John, it seems, really stress the fact that what they wrote and preached and testified was not based on some whims and wishes, not some private interpretations or dreams or visions, but on things that they actually experienced here on earth in the flesh. And so John writes at the beginning of his first epistle, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Likewise, as he concludes his account of Jesus' crucifixion, John says, "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe." And finally, at the end of his gospel, John writes, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." These words are not the words of a man who went into a cave on a mountain somewhere or went deep into a forest to receive private revelations from God that no one else could perceive or verify. No, these are the words of a man who was present for Jesus' words and works, present for that which was done by the Son of God in human flesh. He who publicly preached and taught and worked miracles. John's words are the words of a man who wants there to be no doubt whatsoever that he is testifying to the pure truth of things that actually happened. And his goal is that you may believe, which is ultimately God's goal. Immediately after our third lesson ends, John testifies that Jesus indeed did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, things which are not recorded in his book. But these things that John wrote, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Again, this is not just John's goal, this is God's goal for the Holy Scriptures. And that's why Jesus handpicked those men, those apostles, Andrew and John and Peter and Philip and Nathanael and others, to come and see. To come and see what he was doing and saying. This is why he took them along everywhere he went as he preached and taught and worked miracles. This is why Jesus was lifted up on the cross before them. This is why he appeared to them openly after his resurrection from the grave, not just once or twice, but multiple times. This is why when he ascended into heaven, he was taken up there in their very sight. Because God wills that these men might bear witness to him as the Christ, the Savior of the world, and that those who receive their witness might believe that he is indeed their Lord and God too. But these men, the apostles, didn't bear witness to Jesus alone, by themselves. Yes, Jesus foretold that on the night of his betrayal, that they would bear witness, because they had been with him from the beginning. But just before that, Jesus also promised that he would send to them the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. And he, the Holy Spirit, would bear witness to Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit works through the apostles' preaching and teaching and writing, not just helping them out, giving them a hand, but actually speaking through them, testifying through them, giving them the very words with which they would bear witness to Christ. But the spiritual witness is not divorced at all from what the apostles actually witnessed with their very own eyes. For according to Jesus' own promise, the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus did before them. And so when the apostles did bear witness after Jesus' ascension and after Pentecost, when they preached and when they wrote the books that we have before us in the New Testament, they bore witness about the actual words and deeds of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they did so not with faulty human memory that gets foggy and fades, and not with weak human authority and persuasion. No. They did so with Spirit-supplied perfect memory, perfect recollection of what Jesus did, and with the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Yes, the apostles obeyed Jesus' commission. They testified to him. They did so in their preaching, beginning in Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria and then finally to the ends of the earth. They do so in their writings, and they do so in those writings to this very day in the sacred scriptures of the New Testament. And so when you have your Bible in front of you, when you open that book, you find words written on those pages. What you have before you is the perfect, Spirit-inspired record of the mighty works of God here on earth in time, culminating in Jesus Christ, your Lord and your God, who lived and died and rose again so that you might have eternal life. John and the other apostles saw and heard. They witnessed this, and they testified to it. They bore witness to it. They've written it down, again, for the goal that you would believe. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Again, the invitation has rung out week after week this Advent season. Come and see. But you cannot do so now with the eyes of the flesh, not like John and Peter and Nathanael and the others could. For again, Jesus is ascended into heaven. He is no longer locally present here on earth in his human body. But that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't present at all. He's promised that he would be. He said that where two or three were gathered in his name, he would be there. And he promises to his church that he would be with her always, even to the end of the age. He is, in his word and in his sacrament. That word which you hear and receive in faith, that sacrament which you receive in faith, and so are benefited by. And Jesus says then to you, who hear his word, blessed, blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. You are blessed according to Jesus' own word, because you have believed in him without seeing. You have heard the testimony of the apostles. That same testimony they gave to Thomas long ago. We have seen the Lord. And without seeing him yourself, without touching him or his wounds yourself, you believed their testimony. You believed that the Lord who was crucified is risen indeed, that he lives and reigns to all eternity. You believe that he is your Lord and your God. And though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Come and see. The apostles did. They came and they saw, and they have borne witness to what they saw in Jesus Christ. And you, dear Christians, you have believed their testimony even without seeing. Blessed are you. For someday, with those apostles and prophets and evangelists and saints throughout the centuries, someday you will see him in whom you have believed. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, in your flesh you shall see God, whom you shall see for yourself, and your eyes shall behold. Blessed are you. In the name of Jesus. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.